for he is Lord. Is risen from the dead.
Oh.
Is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess.
Lord.
Jesus Christ is. There's been a change in me since Jesus set me free. Sing that. There's been a change in me since Jesus set me free. I've been to Calvary. I've been born again.
One more time. There's been a change in me since Jesus set me free. To Calvary I'm born again and through their eyes with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how grateful we are tonight, Lord, to be gathered together in your divine presence. Lord, we feel so good to be here among your children. We should thank you, Lord, that you appointed a time like this we could come and gather together to fellowship around your precious word. Dear God, we pray tonight that you would just move amongst us. Lord, you know the needs in our lives. You know we have one motive and one objective, Lord, is to serve you and to live for you in this hour. And we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would just speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, you would meet every need that is in the midst of your people. Lord, we so thank you, Lord, for your servant, for the invitation that he's extended unto us so we could be gathered here. Lord, knowing that the last time that you had me to come through, Lord, the church is going through such a hard time. But Lord, it's such a wonderful atmosphere here tonight. Yeah. And to see how you've blessed them and how you've cared for them. You said, I had a lot of planted and I had a lot of watered. And here, dear God, to see they're gathered in their own building, of people gathered together, standing in the word, established in this message that you have sent. Lord, with expectation, looking for your coming. We pray that our gathering over these days, Lord, be fruitful to us. It will be beneficial to us. It will draw us closer to you. Lord, it will bring us into such a realm of faith. And Lord God, we'll just see a great presence. Lord, do something special amongst us. Lord, we long remember these services. Oh, gracious God, just have your way amongst us tonight, Father. These things you have placed upon my heart. And Lord, you've dealt with me throughout this day. I pray that you would just give me the unction now and the liberty by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak these things that it might bring, Lord, your people into a closer walk with you. It might help prepare us and make us ready for this hour that we are living in. Father, we ask these humble mercies in your precious name. Have your way now amongst us. Lead us and guide us and get glory in this service. And Lord God, we will not fail to praise you, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to greet you tonight in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to, come here after Brother Menno and myself. We were together in New Zealand in December, and he expressed to me that he'd really like for me to come back, and you know, I was very excited to come, and we hoped it might have been in February, but it was not possible, and we just believe that the time is right, and you know, God have been dealing with me with some things that I would like to share over these few services we'll have together, and I trust it will really bring a great faith into your heart and encourage you in this hour that we're living in. I have certainly learned to, you know, really love and appreciate Brother Menno, and you know, respect him for his labor and his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was here the last time, it just maybe about 4 or 5 people, we were gathered there in the place that was rented, and had one service there on a Sunday, and you know, it was a hard time for the believers that was there, but I was sitting downstairs and hearing the singing tonight, and I felt so good. I said, Lord, you know, surely you have done something really precious for your people here, and I just want to come and put in my little portion tonight as a servant of Christ to be a blessing to you, and that, you know, over the next few services we'll have together, it will really be of a time of edification for us. I would like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Read a little portion in chapter 10 first, and then chapter 11. We'll read in chapter 10, 1 to 5. I like the book of Genesis very much. The prophet says there's two books that the devil hates the most. It's Genesis and Revelation. Yeah. And everything that's upon the face of the earth today has its origin in Genesis. Yeah. So I think it'd be real good for us to begin tonight in Genesis, and maybe we could end up in Revelation by Sunday evening. Amen. Genesis 10, verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarma, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the borders of the nations divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Verse 20. Then it goes on and it gave the name of the sons of Ham afterwards. And it said, these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. And verse 31. After it gave the name of Shem and his sons, it says, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. So each one of them, you know, and the sons that was born in that lineage, because Brother Abraham taught us that Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the people who were populated the earth, and here it give each one of them the boundary where there was, the tongue, the families, the nations. And then it says in verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. In Genesis 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now each one of them we just read had their own tongues and their own families and their own countries and all these things. But here it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, it hasn't yet given us the identity, but it's speaking of a special people here. They dwelt in the land of Shinar. They made bricks and, you know, for stone and slime for mortar. And then they decided to build a city and a tower. And in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now it tells us who it is. It's not the sons of Shem, the children of men. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withheld from them which they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. For they are of one language and of one speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Let us pray one more time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, tonight as we would open up this portion of your scriptures, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would so anoint the speakers and the hearers. Lord, you bring us in one mind, and Lord, we'd be in such a channel where your Holy Spirit would speak and we can understand by your Spirit, Father. And Lord, you'd cause us to understand and even see in a greater reality the hour that we are living in and the things that is taking place. Oh God, may it cause us to have such a faith and expectation for the things that you have promised and the things that you have spoken in this hour. And Lord, I pray that you'd make this word so simple and so real, and bring it so close to us, Lord, that Lord, we could just be caught up right in the midst of this great drama that is happening upon the face of the earth in this hour. And grant it, Lord, we pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Just excuse me. I would like to just maybe begin tonight, and we kind of build in each service. And I would take it like in a little series where we could more like a teaching, so we could go kind of slow and study the scriptures and compare it with what have been spoken by the prophet in this hour. Because something had been happening, and the Holy Spirit have been dealing with me with this scripture in such a way that, you know, I just can come out of it. And I came here, I said, Lord, you know, I just want to stay in what you've been dealing with me with and preach it to the people. And today especially, you know, we came in last night into Toronto, and we didn't go to sleep until about after 2:30, because we got in the airport maybe a little after 1:00 in the morning. And then we had to get up and travel this morning, and, you know, coming in the plane there, knowing the services were going to begin tonight, you know, just there meditating and praying and reading a little bit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, just seemed to deal with me in even a deeper way than how I begin preaching some of these things home at this present time. And I just taking that as a witness from the Lord to just come to speak on it here. So knowing that, you know, is going to be too much to try to put onto one service and maybe just spoil it, so I thought that I would kind of break it up, and over the next few services we just look at some of these things here that would really help strengthen our faith. And I would like to take for the title tonight, Behold, the People Are One, and They Have All One Language. That's what was said here when the Lord came down in that day, and he looked at them, and they were so united and had one motive and one objective. And you know, they had one language and one speech. And there was a great thing that was happening there, but it was against the will of God, and he decided to bring an end to it. And I would just want to use that for a title, but for a subject, I would like to take the evolution of the communication system and the opening up of the fourth dimension for this mind age. Because I believe that we're living in the age of the mind, and you know, the communication system has developed such a great height in this hour with the advancement of science and technology, that the age is even being called by the scientists the age of information. And you know, each day you hear how they speak of global telecommunication systems, and they say it has brought the world so much smaller that the world is now being called a global village because it is all interconnected together. And you know, if we would look back, you know, in the olden days, when one would have to communicate with another one, you know, maybe somebody might talk here, and then they begin may have to shout if they want to speak to somebody. And if they're a little distance away, then it was going to take some time to maybe walk over there or ride over there on a horse to get over to where they would have to communicate with the person. And then, you know, we see how they begin to develop a way to communicate, that they begin to use smoke signals. You know, you'll find that, you know, the American Indians, we see in the old Western movies, you know, how they used to have the smoke signals. And it was a form of communication. And they could communicate, you know, with the war party or the, you know, the braves who are going to hunt or whatever it is. And they would have a way of communication. And then, you know, we also know through history, I think they would still have it today, maybe in Africa, different places, where they would beat the drum and they would relay messages by beating the drum. And it was a way of communication, of sending messages. And it was really a great experiment in sound waves. It was a great technology that they developed, that they could beat the drum, and beating the drum would give different signals in song. And then other people hearing the song of the drums could say what message is being communicated. And it was an effective way. And it worked in that type of a society. And, you know, then, you know, it even developed further that they had carrier pigeons. And you know, the prophet on the wings of a snow white dove even say way back in the World War, I think the World War I it was, that they had this, you know, carrier pigeon, and how they would strap the message to the foot and they would lose it. And it was homing pigeons. And they would use the pigeon because, you know, those pigeons, they were loyal to the mate. And, you know, it would head home from the time it loosed. And it would go right back to find that mate, because Noah even used it in the Bible. You see? And it brought a message for Noah. And, you know, today it was a type of airmail, you should say, that they fly with a message. And but today, you know, you look and see, it's not no longer smoke signals. It's satellite signals. And it's no longer, they don't even need airmail no more. They have all these fax machines and all these things to communicate. And it's a constant breakthrough and opening new frontiers all the time in the communication system. Now, it's very tremendous, as we look here in the Word, how that we see in Genesis 10, verse 5, and also verse 20 and 31, that there was many tongues. Ham and his sons, who were divided, you know, by their families and into certain parts of the earth, after the tongues. And then the sons of Japheth with his families after their tongues, and then the families of Shem after their tongues. But then finally it says, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it was a great unity. And, you know, Brother Branham, in 1958, when he started there, where he really began to, you know, begin to bring the teaching, because he started off first, you know, with signs and wonders to attract their attention. And he said the greatest healing revival the world had ever seen was from 1946 to 1955. And then he came back off the field. And he started with serpent seed, because he said that last day messenger will start with serpent seed in the beginning of the Bible and go all the way to the book of Revelation, and he will sow the seed of the entire Bible. See? And he started with serpent seed in Genesis. And when he started there, you know, many things he began to bring in an amateur form, but when the seven seals opened, then it was revealed in its fullness. But way back there, by inspiration, being sent out into the earth by a commission, and he went out there, and he saw how the world had already been through two wars, World War I and World War II. And they were so shook up by the wars after that atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki that the people didn't want to see another war. That they begin to crowd for peace and love, and then the hippie movement on the flow of people and all this begin to come, and they begin to cry for, you know, for love, and what the world needs now is love and give peace a chance and these things. And right in the air is where, after World War II, Pope John the 23rd stood up and says that we all may be one. In 1948, after Israel was back in the homeland. And that was a sign that we were going to go into the last generation. Because it was Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. And then what happened was that we see when he came and began to speak those things, here the prophet was sent out into the earth to, after Israel became a nation, he was sent out into the earth to attract the attention of the bride to get her ready for a message that was going to come later on. And he went out with signs, but he could have looked there and seen what was already moving in the earth, and he knew that that was not the kind of oneness that the Lord Jesus had prayed for in St. John 17. Because that's the very scripture the Pope took, that we all may be one. And what started there was what is known today as the ecumenical move, where it was going to be a great uniting time to unite the world together, to unite the people together, to bring it back to a world state with one great world leader, one money system, and all these things. And right now, the whole world is heading to that very place. Because we know by the scriptures, it says that these 10 kings have one mind and will give the strength and power to the beast. And we also see in the scripture that it says that every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, you know, will see Jesus when he's coming back. Not speaking of the rapture, but Revelation 1:7. Then how is the whole world going to see him? It's going to be by the communication networks, by television, that they'll be able to see him. Bible says they will see Moses and Elijah laying there dead in the street in Jerusalem. How will the whole world see them, two men lying down in a street? Now, two men to lay down in a street wouldn't take up much space. It's just they need the space just big enough for the size of two men. Where they're going to lay down there, the dead bodies. And the whole world is going to see them. Because why? It's going to be there on television. Because the Bible says they all rejoice and they begin to send gifts and make merry when they saw these two prophets were killed. So we see then the whole world what is going to come to. Then we also are told how Rome is going to destroy the present day money system. And she's going to change the currency after she gets the Jews' money tied up. So it's going to come back to one world state. It's going to come back at one communication system. It's going to come back at one monetary system. It's going to finally end up into that. So, yeah, you know, we look and we see
in the scripture that the whole earth was one language, was one people, at Babylon. It was a great thing taking place there. And the Lord confounded them. He confounded the language of all the earth. And in doing so, he scattered them. But the thing that God wanted to stop was the tower and the city that was being built. Because he says, behold, the people are one and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be withheld from them, which they have imagined to do. So he says, to stop them, let us confound the language. Now, language is communication. And it was the communication that had them united together. Now, if God wanted, he could have just taken an earthquake and shake down the whole thing. But he didn't choose to send an earthquake and shake down the tower and shake down the city. He didn't choose to let the earth open and swallow them up. He didn't choose to maybe bring a hurricane and blow the thing away. But he scattered them by disrupting the communication system. They had a fear. The fear was, come, let us build a city and build a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. They was united, and they didn't want to be scattered. They may have considered what it's going to be if they have to be scattered. They had a fear of being scattered, and the very fear they had is the very place where God brought the judgment. And the very thing that held them together as one people is what he broke. But the thing is, God didn't intend for them to stay divided forever. Because we see in the Bible, the very word of God tells us they're going to come back. All them 10 toes, the iron will be inside of it. All them 10 kings will give their power and their strength to the beast. Oh, it's going to come back to one money system, one world state. Everything will have to bow down to Rome. And what it is the same thing in Genesis coming back in Revelation. Because in Revelation it tells about a mystery Babylon. A mystery man of sin. It's all happening in a mystery form. Because Genesis is the seed chapter, genes. And the message Israel in the church, page 99 and 100, Brother Abraham says, and there's anything that the church ought to know today is God's word. How to set it together and apply it to your heart. For this is the day, brethren, you'll bear me record, a day of ism. He said, I've been studying Genesis now for 2 years of Genesis. That's the beginning, the going forth, the seed chapter. Here's a prophet. He sent to sow the seed of the entire Bible. Satan had already tried and had so many religious leaders confused about the authenticity of the book of Genesis. Yet he knows that is the seed chapter. Man was going crazy trying to understand Revelation. And the prophet knows that what type of seed in your field is what type of crop it's going to bring. So to know what Revelation is to know what is in Genesis. Because Genesis is the seed, Revelation is the harvest. Amen. So he says, for 2 years I've been studying Genesis. He says, and you notice that all those cults of this day are beginning in Genesis. They had their start back in Genesis, winding up out here in this last day. For instance, many of them, like how the former religion began in Cain, how it come out and come down to the sons of Noah, Ham. Out of Ham, he had Nimrod. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. And Babel comes on down to Nebuchadnezzar's time. And on out into Revelation, Babylon. So he said, I watch it. How it started there with Cain, that false religion. Satan had it in heaven. Then he introduced it into the earth through Cain. See, then it came up in Nimrod. Come down to Nebuchadnezzar's time. He says, I come right down into Revelation where Babylon is spoken of in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Amen. And he says, how that little seed started way back there at the east side of the gates of Eden, coming on down, winding out. All kinds of cults and everything started back there, winding themselves out to the earth. Now it behooves us to watch, be careful, be set in the word. Many things are taking place today which are unscriptural. Let's watch the scripture, he says. Be sure that's where we are right. That's what we've been trying to teach this week. Let me take another one with that, a couple more with that, to speak about Nimrod a little bit, because he was the one that founded this Babel here. Why am I against organized religion? He said, God never commanded nowhere in the scripture, this page 8, for there ever to be any organization. There's no place within the Bible for that. Adam started one and failed. Then Nimrod tried to make an organization. If you are a historian, you know the history of Babylon. Read his love to Babylon. You'll find a great lot of light. That Nimrod, this man of sin, took Babylon and all its little sister church or places around, which was a type of this last day apostate Christianity, and made one great big place, and all the rest of them paid tribute to it. In the air, he built a tower and tried to organize man together, but it failed. Amen. One more I want to get. You have many. I have quite a few here, but I just want to take this one. The God of this evil age. Page 29 and 30. He says, now, this shows who is the head of this world's church system. That shows who is the head of it. It's Satan in the form of a super person of knowledge, a super knowledge. He knows more about, more than all the rest of them. No matter what the word said, he's got his own interpretation to it. See? The interpretation for this evil age. Notice his plans to build a super denominational church. The World Council of Churches, see? A super denomination so that all the world will worship him, the beast, under the name of United Christianity. Would you like to read it in the Bible? Revelation 13, 68. It's a modern Tower of Babel. Don't you remember how that Nimrod, that hypocrite, built his big tower and made all the other little cities pay tribute to it? Babylon Babel is the same thing. It just changes its name as it come on up. It's Rome, now is Babylon. And the whole world is brought to Babylon. Amen. And it's brought in by the World Council of Churches, which will make every one of them bow to her. And you took the mark of the beast, not knowing what you were doing, but those who are elected will hear the word and come out of it. Okay. So when he came there and he began to see that move taking place, when that Roman hierarchy stand up there and begin to say that we all may be one, and begin to change his tone from heretics to separated brethren, and begin there to seduce and entice the Protestant churches who wanted fellowship and who taught in unity their strength, and seeing communism, you know, rising. Because way back in 1933, the prophet had their visions, all seven of them, in continuity. And then what happened? The third one says, Fascism and Nazism will be swallowed up in communism, and watch the king of the north. Oh, he's still supposed to be watching him. He's doing a lot of great things in the earth today. Very scriptural, very timely for the hour. Coming right into the place where they ought to be. And in that sixth vision, he said, no, there can be a beautiful woman rise up in America. Oh, and then he began to preach Jezebel religion, hybrid religion, all these things. Identifying that He says, look how she wormed her way into the White House. He said, the president, is it a figurehead? She's in control. It's midnight time. So it was midnight for them back there in the days of Israel when Jezebel and Ahab came together for political reasons. It was midnight when Constantine united church and state, religion and politics, Pergamos being married. He said, it's midnight today when the same thing is happening again. So when we look and we see, God had shown him by vision what was going to happen in this world, but it was laying in the Bible. And what he saw in the vision compared with what was in the Bible. So the vision and the word came together to prove it was God giving those visions. And then here it was happening in the earth. But the Catholic Church rise in America. Past season, Mussolini died a mysterious, shameful death. Hitler, Nazism, died a mysterious death. And watch the King of the North, it is all swallowed in the communism. And communism is a tool in the hand of God, see, to destroy the church that have rejected the word. And we know that, you know, that communism will also give their power to the beast for 1 hour. And then you will put it in their hearts to eat of flesh and to burn with fire. But first, they're going to come and give the support. Oh my, it's a great thing happening. You hear about all this glasnost and perestroika and all the things happening and economic restructuring and everything else. But in the next few days, we're going to see how it's all working to come to the very place that is spoken of. See? But we want to look here tonight where it all began in this book of Genesis. And the prophet was seeing that spirit that was being loose, and how the Protestants begin to get pulled in. And he began to preach. He preached the message, the Tower of Babel. And on page 2, he says here, after you read the scripture, Revelation 11, he said, I want to speak tonight on the oneness of unity. It is a very amazing to think how that the people that they saw here were one. God says, behold, the people are one. It was an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit, when he came down in an investigation judgment, he remarked, they have one language. It was an achievement. Now I trust that as we go into the world, we come. And some of us may have some of those concepts that we get from them little reformers' paintings. You see a big building going up, and somebody, you know, is passing the chowel or the hammer, and he says, pass me the hammer, and they hand him a brick instead. And somebody says, pass me, the chisel, and they hand him a pail instead. You know, they say, they were confounded. This one was talking Chinese, this one was talking Russian, this one was talking English, this one was talking Spanish. And you know, we have that kind of, sometimes we get that kind of concept. But the prophet never bring that kind of concept. What I'm trying to bring here is a message concept. Because Babylon here is only a type of the mystery Babylon today. The world state that Nimrod tried to establish and reign over it after he conquered everybody and brought them to pay tribute to his city was only a type of what's happening today. And the type comes off of the antitype. It is the antitype that casts the shadow. And the shadow is only to indicate what the reality is like. Now if we look today, we sure ain't seen that. Amen. Because notice, when the Lord came down, he says, so united. One motive, one objective, one mind, one program. They wanted to link heaven and earth together. Great space program they had. They wanted to go up in heaven. And they're using all the technology and all the science. Because if we read Genesis, if we read the scripture here in Genesis 11, you will see in seed form communications, one language, one speech. We're going to get into a while. Then we see industry, just making bricks. That the science and the technology to build a city, to build a tower, to build from earth and link earth and heaven together. And the prophet said that was only a carnal impersonation of Jacob's ladder that he had dreamt about, that linked heaven and earth together, that angels were descending and ascending, God on top and man below. Amen. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower that the righteous run into and assess. Because Jesus told Nathanael, after he deserted his heart, because you believe when you see this, greater things shall you see. You shall see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's what Jacob saw. Who just linked heaven and earth together? Amen. And those angels descending and ascending, bringing messages from God to man, like the angel was bringing to Daniel. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me. Oh, they are ministering spirits sent forth to them who are the heirs of salvation. So look here in the scripture. We also see science. Because there are the mathematical sciences. There are the architectural sciences to build a city. And Babylon became the head of gold. There hasn't been a Gentile city, a Gentile kingdom like Babylon. Because that was the head of gold, and it was coming inferior all the time, from gold to silver to brass to iron. It was built on the Euphrates River. And the thing about it, the prophets told us, he said that also is another carnal impersonation of the new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, that the river of the coming from the throne of God is flowing out of it. So what they were trying to represent there in Babylon, the tower, the city, was carnal impersonations to spiritual realities. Then here, as the prophet began to open it up, he was watching that ecumenical move in the earth and seeing how the devil was bringing man to oneness under his plan. And that was also a perversion of God becoming one with man under his plan. See, it's all Satan can only pervert. So right there, the prophet began to look at it and see it. He went back to the Bible. He says, I'll show you every cult in the earth today started in Genesis. And he went to Genesis and began to show us that we all may be one. The greatness happened in the earth to bring about a world state with a man of sin to a satanic religion. Exactly where it was in the Bible. And he says, it's strange to think, but you know that is God's plan. God wants people to be one. It is strange to think, but the devil tries to put his plan into existence and make the people one under his plan. Now God has a plan, and the devil has a plan. The devil is trying to get all people under his plan, while God is trying to get people to be one under his plan. So there are two great spirits in the world. One of them is the devil, and the other is God. My. Then he came. He had preached this message, also handwritten on the wall. And it seems like the mind of the prophet, knowing that he was sent into the earth, and every true messenger that rose up, like when Paul came, he says, the mystery of iniquity hath already awoke. And this thing that starts off in this first church age, he says, going to end up in Satan being incarnate in flesh in the last days. The man of sin will sit in the temple as though he's God. He said, that thing I've already started in this age already. Way back there. Then watch something. And as the prophet looking at those things in the scripture and knowing what this was going to head up to, you could see he was comparing the two Babylons. Because he's looking at Babylon in the Old Testament and Babylon in the New Testament. Because he says the only way can really teach is by touch. Look and see where it was and you know where it's going to be. Because he's put there for that purpose. And here in this message, handwriting on the wall, he goes in and he you know, these look like little evangelistic messages. But something was in his heart. He was watching how, you know, it was a sign of the end, because he watched all the tongues coming there, the Gentile age coming to the message of tongues and bringing judgment and a prophet yet to interpret it. And he looks there and sees happening also in the last days, a sign of coming judgment with a prophet in the land on these things. Where they had an image and they had to bow down to it. Back then, a persecution for those who wouldn't bow down to it. And he saw the same thing coming back here. And it was all represented in Babylon in the Old Testament. So, here as we see those things, he now begins to bring to us and show us, and these seven church ages, just want to take a little part of it again, read a little bit here for you. On page 182 he says, Babel is the original name for Babylon. It means confusion. It was literally started by Cush, the son of Ham, but was brought to a kingdom of power and grandeur under his son Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Nimrod, according to the Genesis 11 account, and also according to profane history, set out to accomplish three things. One, he wanted to build a strong nation. He wanted to propagate his own religion, which he did. And three, he wanted to make a name for himself, which he also accomplished. Build a strong nation, propagate his own religion, make a name for himself. His accomplishments were so monumental. You know, it's strange. The Bible didn't say nothing about Nimrod, I don't know, maybe a couple of verses. Yet, he was the very type of Satan's Superman. The man of sin in the last days. The last great Gentile world leader who's going to rule the earth. That the very religion of Nimrod is here still today. The very Roman hierarchy is a representation of that very position that Nimrod held. And you see, it's all taking place in a mystery form. Is a mystery Babylon? Is it a mystery Euphrates River? But the Bible, Revelation 9, tells you them 200 million demons that came out of the Euphrates River, which was really the Roman spirit bound by Christian principles, but was loose upon the dictators, see, who was just the political arm of the Vatican, the king who had given the power unto her, that Catholic vote put Hitler into power, Catholic money financed him, see, and he was accomplishing the goals of the Roman Catholic Church. Because it was Roman spirits that killed the Jews. But Hitler and Eichmann were the instrument. But the spirit came out of the Euphrates River. And the Euphrates River is just a symbolic language in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, to identify the presence of the Vatican. Exactly right. Because Babylon was built on the Euphrates River. So, where Babylon is, Euphrates is. There's four great rivers the Bible speaks of in Eden. Hiddekel River, Euphrates River, and there are two tributaries, Gihon and Pishon. And Gihon and Pishon are never mentioned no more in the Bible. Hiddekel River is mentioned once in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And the Euphrates River is mentioned over 20 times. It's in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Just like Babylon is in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. And where Babylon is, the Euphrates River is. But when it comes to Revelation, Babylon is no more political Babylon, natural Babylon back there. It is a mystery Babylon. Because the head of gold has gone out of existence. But somehow, the religion ended up in the feet of iron, the legs of iron. and went down into the towers of iron and clay, showing that though the head of gold was destroyed, yet that Babylonian religion ended right up. In the church's book, the prophet says, look, it says, in Pergamos, where Satan's seat is. He said, what is Satan's seat doing in Pergamos when Babylon was the seat of satanic religion? He says, you know what happened when Babylon fell? Archelaus, the priest king, fled with the sacred mysteries. He went into Pergamos and settled there. And he says, somehow in the sovereign purposes of Almighty God, he willed over everything to Caesar. And Caesar became Pontifex Maximus. And the Babylonian mysteries ended up in Rome. And Rome became Mystery Babylon. So just told him, I might show that there. To show you, it all ends up in a mystery form. A mystery river, a mystery Babylon, a mystery man of sin, a mystery Nimrod. Bring it back to a world state, all these things. And it's happening right now. It's all working, and it's all building, and it's all going on. And God has come down this day. The Lord himself has descended, and he's seen all the unity going on. And he's seen man trying to, with a great space program, to link heaven and earth together. He's seen them now. Language is no more a barrier. Deserts are no more a barrier. Mountains, sea, and oceans, land is no more a barrier. God separated man by deserts and seas and oceans and mountains and rivers. But because of the global telecommunication system, they're all linked together. So you could stay right here and speak to somebody in China, and they are hearing you distinctly, and somebody 10 feet from you can't hear what you're saying. Because of the telephone. Then the television, you can stay right here and see into another country, maybe into Russia, and you can't see through the back door. And you can stay here and see thousands of miles in another nation. See? You can see back into yesterday. In some countries, it's Thursday. And you can look back and see what's happening Thursday. In some countries, it's Saturday. And you can go into the future and see what's going on Saturday in another country. Break all barrier of distance and time. They have so developed the technology. And has brought back such a communication system that has made them a very powerful people on the face of the earth. Let us turn earth and communicate with them and then the moon. See? Because it is so powerful. Now, here it is, we see in the Bible, God never intended for them to stay divided. Because here they have been united again today, and the Bible says they will be united, and Rome will rule the world. So if they have been united, then God's purpose was defeated if he intended for them not to be united again. But he only allowed them to be scattered for so long. See, what he disrupted was their communication system. That's why we are speaking about the evolution of the communication system and the opening up of the fourth dimension for the mind age. Because it's coming to such a great thing that's happening that, you know, if this service has been televised tonight, somebody in China or in Russia could stay right there and see me. Somebody maybe in Korea could stay right there and see me this very moment as I'm speaking. Every action, every mannerism, every expression, every word. The same moment you are seeing it right here. And it's having the same influence upon them it will have on you right here if you're a believer. Exactly. They could transmit that image at the speed of light. See? But I transport my body. They only have four ways they could do it. Horse and buggy, motor car, aeroplane, or the astronaut. And none is at the speed of light. But the word says there's another realm of transportation that Enoch used, that Philip used, that Elijah used, that Jesus used. And the prophet says, after a while, We'll not be using the horse and buggy, motor car, aeroplane, or astronaut. We'll be traveling at the speed of thought. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Not flying for so long. And then you meet all those people. It get me here much faster than if I had to drive. It get me much faster if I had to walk. But he says, when that hour comes, it's not only your image will go at the speed of light, you will go even faster than the speed of light. Your body. And how to send it to that dimension is open up. He said, it was here since Adam was here. Television was there, Elijah's on Mount Carmel. But they're only now beginning to locate it. They're only now beginning to discover it. God let them break into it. But this age, because it's going to link back the whole world together. That you'll even see Jesus on the TV. Not acting, but reality. Because the television, but it'll pick up the reality and transmit those things, and you see what is happening. That fourth dimension, science have discovered it. That things could go through the air, words and images could go through the air at the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second. It's getting there. And we, somehow, they know, you know, they call it science fiction because they do not extend the body yet. So when they make all these kind of things, you have a man beaming here, and they're beaming here, and it's a science fiction because they haven't discovered it all. But they know if they could send the image, they have to be aware they could send the body. But they haven't broken into it yet. But we see in the Bible that Jesus come right through the shut door. Until their thought was a spirit, he said, no, handle me. It is I, myself. And he ate to show them it was flesh and bone that come through that door. That's going to happen, this message. Let me tell you, this message is taking us there. And when Jesus comes to the door, the speed of light from that dimension, when Enoch went and when Philip was transported from one, the desert to that city to preach, it wasn't science fiction. It was reality, Bible reality. Because I'm sure if we're going to heaven, we sure going on by some travel service and get some airline and book a flight to go out. We're not going to leave that way. We're going to leave at the speed of thought. We'll go traveling, but by another frontier of transportation that science hasn't broken to yet. But look where they come from. They come from a man walking. Until Nimrod was the one who mastered the art of horsemanship. He was the first one who took the horse and used it as a form of transportation. As something that he used in his hunt. And he trained and broke the horses. And then, from the air, we find that science, even in the age of Henry Ford and them, begin to break into another realm and come up with a greater form of transportation. And each was coming higher and faster. It was something that was happening. Now all these things that is building up and coming to a place, here we see in the message, it speaks of it in the last day. And they're working by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, trying to find it. But God was opening these things from his word, showing that he was bringing the church by a revelation in every age to a certain place where the church will be able to lead the city. But the Bible says we, together with them, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It says Moses and Elijah, after they were dead for 3.5 days, they saw them going up. All the world who had seen them dead now is seeing them going up. Think of it. About the different languages, different nations, different kindreds. The people of all the earth were seeing it. And that isn't too far from now, you know. If we leave very soon, it's only a matter of 3.5 years before events like that is taking place.
that the world is seeing. Right now, you know, they have it there as some form of entertainment or something. Something that maybe they're probing at or looking at. But here, what I'm trying to bring to you is to show you in the scripture, in Genesis, is laying a seed and is showing that when God separated them here, they're going to come back one day. But the book of Revelation shows us these same people. But these are the people that people the earth. All the nations on the earth today goes back to those three sons. And all the nations of the earth today come back to a unity. Come back to the same type of system. In a mystery form. Not just in one part of it, but it's going to span the whole planet. Amen. So watch. So they begin to develop the communication system. And Nimrod achieved three great things. One, he built a strong nation. Two, he propagated his own religion. And three, he made a name for himself. And he says, accomplishments were so monumental that the kingdom of Babylon was called the head of gold among all world governments. That his religion gained prominence is proven by the fact that the scripture identifies it with Satan completely in Isaiah chapter 14. Because Isaiah was speaking to Satan in the king of Babylon. And said, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer? Showing that Satan was, that's where his seat was. Right there in Babylon. And then he says, and it is the basis for every system of idolatry and the theme of mythology, though the names of the gods differ in the various sections of the land, according to the language of the people, that he made a name for himself and his followers goes without saying. For as long as this present age goes on, until Jesus reveals himself to his brethren, he will be worshipped and honored, though under a different name from Nimrod, and in a temple slightly different from the one in which he was originally adored. And it's happening right today in the earth. Amen. And then here, verse chapter, page 186, Pergamos 8, he says, that this Nimrod, Ninus, is the Nimrod of the Bible because he built Nineveh, and the history says Ninus of Nineveh. So the prophet has proven that how Ninus and Nimrod is the same person. We can affirm by comparing history with the Genesis account. Pompeius, that's a historian, said, Ninus, king of Assyria, changed the ancient moderate ways of life by his desire for conquest. And I want you to hold that because we're going to pick up that in a couple of services again. His desire for conquest. Today is all kind of different wars taking place. There's military war, there's trade war, there's economic war, there's Star Wars, cocaine wars, and all kind of wars. Cold wars, you have them in the home sometimes. See, husband is talking to the wife, you're cold war. See, then you have a trade wars, but a certain nation, you're going to put pressure on certain nations, like they want to do with China right now. All of us stop all trade and imports and exports and everything else and freeze all those things and put pressure upon them and create more problems for them in the economy, in the country, that they don't be able to carry out the administration properly. No, it's all a type of warfare, psychological warfare. See, two men going to fight in a boxing ring, there's a lot of psychological warfare goes on first. Before they even go in the ring to fight physically. Sometimes a man already lost the fight before he goes into the ring. See? It's a different type of warfare. So, as in the Time magazine, got an article recently, speaking about Japan, such a great powerful force in the world today. And, you know, they're showing, you know, how they say Russia conquered so much of territory, more territory than any nation since World War II. But they begin to find out that, you know, it's not that type of war going on right now. Because they end up with so much of problems. And the economy is in such a disastrous condition that they said Japan and West Germany re-entered the war on the battleground of markets and ideas. Even America can't cope with Japan in the trade wars and these things. You see what is happening? It's such a powerful thing. And here we see that Nimrod established a strong nation. One of the first things was where he built Babylon. The place was ideally suited. It was ideally located. It was chosen for us. The spot was chosen for a special purpose. It was the most fertile region the face of the earth in that time. On the riverbed of the Euphrates. Most of the food we eat today and the animals and all these things come from that very region, which was the cradle of civilization. Then also, he had a desire for conquest, and he went out and took war and began to conquer the other nations and bring them under his control. Military power, he had economic power, then he had military power. Then the third thing, he had a communication system here that kept the people influenced on his ideology. He brought them to one language, one people, had them in one mind with one objective, putting all the science together, all the technology together, everything together, all the industry together to build the city and to build this tower. Until God came and says, the people are all one. That is a great project, trying to link heaven and earth together. Then, also, he was going to bring them to one religion. Now, the religion is the soul of any nation. The man have a nature and a desire to worship. So he was going to control them totally. The body, economic power. The food, military power. The mind, the spirit, his communication system, the kind of influence in his way of thinking, under his ideology, have them channel all the efforts to achieve one goal, and then one religion, the soul. Had them there. So he conquered them, body, spirit, and soul. And you watch Rome today. That beast is called craft, all kind of business to prosper. Until she holds the world trade and commerce in a pact. That you can't buy or sell except you take the mark of the beast. But I think all them communist countries right now are restructuring. They're being pressured into doing it. They will not be able to go on any longer if they don't restructure. And that is what they're going to come in and give the support to Rome for economic stability. Because it's she who has the wealth of the world. It's she who is causing craft to prosper. See, look at Europe right now. They want to make a united Europe by 1992. One market, one currency. It's all being laid for the destruction of the present-day money system. You say Rome will destroy the present-day money system because the dollar is weak and sick and dying and can't cope with the stress, the economic stress. See? They had some bad crashes way back in the Depression in 1929, and then it come and had one in Wall Street recently, 1987 I think it was. They had another crash there. It cannot go any further. And they try to make Europe an economic superpower so that America or Japan wouldn't control the trade in Europe. And then all the communist countries too. You see, Europe is the old world. That's the beast that come out of the sea, where Rome came out from. Because the new world, America, was formed when they fled for freedom and religion from the old world. They come and formed the new world. Then Rome came and conquered the new world. Jezebel end up in the White House. And America, the New World, end up bankrupt. And Protestants who form the New World and Catholics is uniting back together, which is not just religion, it's two worlds reuniting again. And then they created the Third World, which is expedient for them to have the Third World. We are part of the Third World, not you or we. We are part of the Third World. The Third World is a good tool for them. See? And here it is now, all them world, the old world, the new world, and the third world. Rome has under control, and only the communist world trying to survive, and they can't survive. Because they have to restructure right now to come into this world order. Oh, it's a great plan to bring back to one world state. You're going to pick it up. Oh, I just put out a little piece here for you to see that it is happening presently now in science, in industry, in communication. They never had an interest in communication and the media industries like at this present time. The biggest merger in the history of the media is going to take place with Time and Warner Brothers want to come together, and then you have Paramount Communications trying to come in and take it over. And might just give you this. They say they call it the mega merger. By the time you go into the 1990s, you're going to have just a handful of media industries. And this one, whether it's Time or Warner or Time and Paramount, is going to control the global media. What is it? It isn't strange that Paramount is launching the attack under the code name of Cronus, a Greek god associated with time. Cronus is just another name for Nimrod. And time says it can be like this could be like the Tower of Babel. And not only that, but what is actually happening while all those things is happening, here is Rome again, an economic power. Then they'll have the strength of the kings. They'll give the strength and power unto the beast. Military power. For the beast has gathered all the kings and the armies. Then you're going to have the communication system that all the world rejoice and worship the beast when they see the beast overcome Moses and Elijah. See? And then you're going to have one world religion. You have to bow down to. And the same thing here is coming back in Mystery Babylon. It's coming right back this hour. So here's the media, the communication systems, here's the economic powers, here's the ecumenical move. It's all working to bring back the very thing that they had right here, because right here in Genesis, we see communications in seed form, industry in seed form, science in seed form, technology in seed form, politics in seed form, religion in seed form, government, world government in seed form, heaven and earth, ecumenism, and judgment. All represented in seed form in Genesis 11. At Babel. So, tomorrow we pick it up a little more. Just want to close here for tonight and give you some of these things to ponder. You can see at present what is happening right now. These things that are taking place, because remember, this book of Revelation is what the message has come to reveal to us. And from Revelation 3:14, which is this Laodicean church age, till Revelation 20, the millennium. From Christ's death to Christ's reign. From Son of God to Son of David. And here we're between Son of Man, between Son of God and Son of David. Here the bride is being gathered together. All these things from Revelation 3:14 to Revelation 20 is this generation. So it means that if we look in the world today, these things in the book of Revelation happen all around us. But when we look out there, we could see the kings of the earth coming to one mind, coming to give the power. We could see him causing craft to prosper. We could see him getting ready to break the present money system. We could see the Jews holding all the bonds and again the money ready to be tied up just now. We could see the communist powers restructuring the economy about democracy and freedom of speech and economic restructuring. Because the first thing that they called for in Poland when the trade unions won, why didn't they have a Polish Pope? It was all an orchestrated move. And the first thing the trade union called for in Poland is for the legalization of the Catholic Church. What is happening? It's all coming back. But remember, we are going to leave here before that takes place. So then, if that uniting is going on. There's something else happening. If those things are so plain and it's here in the scripture, and the modern events are being made clear as you look at it through the eyes of the vindicated prophecy of Malachi 4, we can see exactly what the King of the North is doing. We can see that beautiful woman raised in America, what she's doing. Sure. We can see the social condition, that fifth vision, what is happening. We can see the increase of science after World War II, that fourth vision, where it has come to. God showed the prophet them visions to show him the things that will influence the course of world history until the annihilation comes. You see where that seventh vision, it'll wipe away all religion, it'll wipe away all politics, it'll wipe away all science, just like in the days of Noah, to bring back a new civilization. So then, if those things are building up, there's something taking place among the elected bride. And that is why we don't want to be caught unawares. We don't want to be caught in a confused mind as to what is happening, because here it is. Some people say, you know, I can't see nothing happening. You know, I don't see what's really going on. You know, like everything is, you know, maybe confusion, or this one backslide, or this one getting cold, this one going on some false teaching. I don't see nothing going on. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you. It's so much happening. It's more scripture being fulfilled in this hour than it was ever fulfilled at any time. And since the seven seals have been opened, and the book has been revealed to us, and we see the hour that we are living in, where the nations are placed positionally, where the churches is doing, what is happening among the elect of God, what is taking place with Israel, what is happening in the financial world, what is happening in the world of trade and industry and these things, is all in the Word. Because we know what the end is going to be. We know what is working up and heading up to come to. And here we see these things. Reach that stage, then what it ought to be for us as believers. I believe in the hour of the scripture says, all of men have our lamps trimmed and filled with oil. That we have our eyes so anointed with eyesight, seeing the things that are taking place, knowing where we are placed positionally. May these few thoughts tonight, and we need to open up this little message, that they were all one language. I want people. The language of the earth. What is the language of the earth today? God destroyed the language. He confounded the language of the earth. He said, behold, what was that the unity was leading them to achieve? What was the purpose why they were united? And what was the goal that a united effort is being put together to achieve? And why it is God disrupted the communication system and let me just shake down the whole thing with an earthquake or something? And why it is in the last days, those same people who is scattered, is who populated the whole planet today, but yet those same people is end back up in the same system and all come back to the same place. And what we hear as news, what we see as everyday things is happening, is telling us the time is almost over. It's just checking ourselves with ours, Abraham says, to see if we are in the faith. Let's bow our heads and close our word of prayer. Almighty God, I pray tonight, Father, as we sit here in your presence pondering these things, could it be? Is this the hour? Does these things mean this? Does the scriptures really say that? Oh God, may you by your divine grace so cause your people to see. He says, come and bow me eyesight, and our eyes be anointed and we'll see. And your prophet preached that tremendous message, modern events being made clear by the vindicated prophecy. Lord, may we realize that all these modern events Lord, is more than modern events. Is prophecy becoming history? Is the word of God coming to pass right before our eyes? Lord, what a faith that ought to bring to us. How it ought to cause us to see the hour that we are living in. How far advanced we are. So many of these things, Lord, we sometimes, because of conception, we have it taking place way down the road somewhere. But Lord, may we look in and see that these things are already in the process of fulfillment. Very far advanced, Lord. It's time for your church to take its flight. Lord, I pray tonight that as you ponder these things, your Holy Spirit is kind of putting these things to us. And Lord, you just teach us further on these divine truths. And Lord, we can just look and see more clearly and more closely as we examine the modern events of the scriptures and the message. We see that the end of all things is come. Bless your people tonight, Father. They've sat and they've listened tonight attentively. I pray, dear God, that you just keep these things close to them. As we come back tomorrow, to the tower in the Lord's life, we come back into your presence, Lord, hungry and thirsting. You're going to open up these things to us and show us what it really means and how it relates to us and how we can serve you better and make ourselves so fully surrendered unto you, Lord, seeing that there is no hope for this civilization. It's going to be wiped off the face of the earth. But there is coming another civilization. Help us prepare for that day, Father. The prophecy of this world is falling apart, but the millennium is being ushered in. Oh God, our bride is being taken up now in the mystery of this great seventh seal. She's entered into a rapturing grace. Oh God, this rapture, this great revelation is only for the bride. I pray, Father, that we'd see how real these things are. And Lord, you cause us to separate totally unto you. Grant it, Lord. I commit everyone into your hands, Lord. Asking you to have your way and remain part of the service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Could we sing this sweet song? Just any day now, my Lord is coming. He will be returning. Oh, I'll be watching, I'll be waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. I think we know it. I ain't much of a singer, so I ask one of the brothers here to maybe start the song. But I'm believing it's so late. As the Bible says in the book of Romans, it's nearer than when you first believe. Amen. Put your eyes in the eastern skies. Amen.
Yeah. Any day now, my Lord is coming. He'll be returned. Oh, you and me.
I'll be waiting, amen.
Be waiting just any day now. His face I'll
see. Oh, sing it again.
Just any day.
God bless you.
Amen. And I've been waiting.